Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As work continues on repairing the damage from the spring flood event all along the Arkansas River, we check in with river parks. The parks along the river, running from 11th Street to 101st Street South, sustained around $8.3 million in damage. That involved everything from the 41st Street splash pad to the lower sports courts of the Gathering Place to erosion issues at various points along the trails from 11th Street all the way south. Now, $8.3 million in damage, that's a huge blow for the agency that sets aside about $500,000 for repairs of this sort. While FEMA has agreed that river parks may submit an application for relief, it's not exactly certain what types of repair will be funded. Will it be for repairs only, or mitigation and bank erosion stabilization to protect against future flood events? And if FEMA decides to fund, it will only be a reimbursal for repairs already made, a difficult situation for an agency that doesn't have the full $8.3 million on hand. Today we get a sense of how the flooding has affected river parks, what repairs have already been made, and the priorities for immediate, intermediate, and long-term repair. My guest today is Matt Myers, the Executive Director of River Parks Authority. Matt Meyer, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
I know it's been a busy time for river parks over the last summer since the flooding event in late May along the Arkansas River. What has been the immediate reaction from river parks to the flooding event?
The flood itself, you know, was late May, early June. It was a slow flood. It took a couple of weeks, though there were no surprises. And as the water rose, we had to make adjustments staff-wise, putting up barricades and that sort of thing on the trail where people could no longer access it. So that was done. I went to numerous meetings in what I call the war room, which was the EOC operations there at the basement of, below the police station. And we got briefings every day what to expect and the weather reports and the Corps reports about their releases. So, yeah, we had a big impact, a lot of erosion, some damage to the park, that sort of thing. And we have an engineer's estimate, the initial estimate, which was done as soon as the water receded enough so we could see basic things, which we did on Saturday, June 1st, shows about $8.3 million in damage to the riverbanks and infrastructure to put it back the way it was. The media reaction was a lot of public outpouring of support with volunteers to help with the cleanup. I would point that out.
Has the river receded enough to know the full extent of possible erosion damage along various parts of the trail? I know because it's within its banks, but it's also very full.
The last time I checked the water flows, which was yesterday from the Corps website, it was at about 30,000 cubic feet. So that's quite a bit lower. So we can obviously see a lot more than we did. I think we can see most everything, but we got to do another inspection to make sure.
So how does $8.3 million stack up to what River Park has on hand or has available to it to do maintenance, to do repair work?
Well, we don't have $8.3 million, so we can start out with that. And we don't know what FEMA will approve. You know, we're going through the FEMA process like the city is in the county, but we're going to file our own separate application because we're told we need to because we have our own employer ID number, and we did that way back in the 86 flood and in the 2007 ice storm. So the 8.3, we don't know how much of that will stick, but that would be to do everything right. And what would that be for? That's a lot of riverbank stabilization. That's riprap in places where it makes sense. There's this application.
Explain riprap.
Riprap is large rocks, small boulders.
You small know. Boulders. It's basically a boulder field going up from the river level.
Along the bank. You see it at the Gathering Place. Mm-hmm. You know, the rocks are 1 foot in diameter to 2 or 3 feet in diameter, and they help stabilize the bank. The other application that our engineer really likes, and we did some of that a couple of years ago at about 57th and 58th in Riverside, is this application called cabled concrete, which looks like, you know, giant honeycomb and is connected with cables and it's towed into the base of the bank, into the base of the river. So the flows have to be really low to do that, to install it. And we did about 500 lineal feet of that, and it cost $1,000 a lineal foot. So that's $500,000, and we have lots of places where that would be a good application, but at this point we don't know what what FEMA will approve, because if it we think that if the damaged areas affect infrastructure like the trail or like a recreational structure, we have a good argument for it being approved. But if it's just a brushy area, they may say, we may not approve that. And we don't know yet.
Yeah, and it's about erosion issues for the future, too.
Correct. We want to protect it for the next flood because there will be another one. A lot of things to consider. And you ask about the money. Where would that come from? We had about $450,000 in our reserves, and we used immediately $100,000 of that to get some repairs going. We also had, we're approaching the city and the county for assistance. River Parks has $4 million. In the Improve Our Tulsa Fund that was passed in 14, the original one. Mm-hmm. But that was all designated for park projects like trail repair, trail resurfacing, parking lot resurfacing, which we really, really need, fences, playgrounds, that sort of thing. But there, we spent about $900,000 of that. We have about $1.1 in the bank right now, and the city administration has agreed to advance the remaining $1.8 or $1.9 million. From which we weren't scheduled to get to like 21, 22. The good thing about that is that gives us some money up front to start some projects. The bad thing about that is it delays everything else that
the
we were
the regular use, maintenance yeah.
That we were going to use the money for. Yeah. And the reimbursement is not 100%. So the way I understand it, whatever FEMA approves, the Fed reimbursement is 75%. The state emergency management reimbursement is 12.5. So that still leaves 12.5 for the local sponsor.
Yeah. Now, there's been some unclear reporting on where the FEMA application and FEMA relief actually stands today. Some reports have said that it is already approved, as opposed to what's been approved has been, yes, you can submit this, we will review it, and then we'll decide what we decide to reimburse. Where does the FEMA relief actually stand at? And we should also mention, it's not a grant, it's reimbursement for funds that are already expended.
That's right, Rich. I can only speak to how that applies to River Parks. Yeah. The FEMA ball got rolling when the disaster was declared and approved. So that is accurate. That's been done. In our case, we submitted a request for public assistance about a week or 10 days ago, and we found out yesterday that that's been approved, and we actually a couple of days ago. And then yesterday we had our initial meeting. It was a conference call with some officials in Washington from FEMA, and we had an hour-long conversation. We have scheduled our scoping meeting when they actually come to Tulsa, to River Parks, to review our damages, both on paper and probably some site visits, and that is scheduled for August 14th. And then you're right. I mean, it is a reimbursement thing, so we would use some of that money, but we'd have to. There's a lot of red tape, I think, with FEMA. You have to go through the bidding process and make sure you meet all the government requirements. So that's a process. So in our case, we'd have to engineer, design, bid it, and then wait for water levels to be low enough to actually do the work. So this is really a marathon and not a sprint. I mean, it's, I don't know, a couple years project. You know, right after we have our scoping meeting, I do know then we have 60 days to make sure we have identified all the damages and submitted those to FEMA.
And then at that point, you have to start spending the money, and then hopefully they'll reimburse it, or they'll at least tell you what they would be willing to reimburse and what they won't.
They would approve the projects.
Yeah.
And then we could bid those and have to do the work and then get reimbursed, which would be a while.
And again,
I couldn't tell you a date.
And again, at least at this point, you have access to around $4 million or $3.1 million to do some of those repairs, which puts off what that $3.1 was originally appropriated for.
Yeah, and what we're doing is prioritizing. So this $8.3, we're going with our engineer and we're saying priorities, one, absolutely important, have to do it. So we're going to do those first, and then secondly and third, second, third tier priorities.
So have you come up with those priorities yet?
Still in the process. We kind of know in our mind where some of them are.
Yeah. So when we actually think about what that $8.3 million of damage along River Parks is, I mean, I think of a few things. One is when you go by the gathering place, the lower courts are obviously closed off. I assume And see, this is the other thing. A lot of people don't know exactly where River Parks begins and ends. Is this a gathering place issue, or is that a River Parks issue?
Well, when you talk about the gathering place, that is kind of a gray area. So
it's something you're still being determined.
River Parks owns the gathering place, but at the same time that they gave it to us, we turned around and leased it to a subsidiary of the Kaiser Foundation to operate for 99 years. So all the maintenance and the operations are up to the gathering place. So there's a 50% chance that the gathering place damages will have to be filed under the River Parks application, which means there's also a 50% chance that they can do their own. I was talking to Josh Miller with GKFF. He's approached FEMA, and the message he gets is that it should be filed under River Parks because River Parks owns the land. In our conversation yesterday with FEMA, the rep that we talked to, who was head of that meeting, indicated because the gathering place maintains it separate from River Parks, that they should submit it. So we are submitting the lease and the legal documents to FEMA, and they will have to answer that question for us.
So it's obviously clear government guidance there.
Right. You can talk to three people and get four different answers. Tell them I said that.
Yeah. So we have the lower courts at the gathering place. You have the 41st Street Park, which had some damage, especially to the splash pad.
Let me talk about that for a minute. So, important one for us because the splash pads are not open. Yeah, the vault that contains the pumps and the motors to power the recirculating water for the splash pads, that vault was underwater for like a week. And generally, electric motors don't work very well after they've been underwater for a week. Not only that, but the wall of the vault collapsed. So we are working with Quick Trip engineers. And why Quick Trip? Because they sponsored that plaza. They are a great private-public partnership for that. It was part of their 50th anniversary gift to Tulsa. So the engineers are looking at a plan. We're looking at all the options, whether we want to continue to have the recirculating system, like we treat it like swimming pool water, like it has been for the last 10 years since it was open, or do we want to go to have just used city water and go to waste. Mm-hmm. If we did that, then we'd have to redesign it because it would be like having a 3 or 4 inch pipe open right now, and the water bill would be just astronomical. So there's advantages and disadvantages of both. But the bottom line for this summer is it won't be open. There's a schedule to have it open for May of 19. So we're encouraging people to go to other splash pads around the city, and there are a number of them. So
that park is really close to the river, and obviously I think it was underwater during a lot of the event. And there are several other park facilities that are very, very close to the water. Was there damage to those as well?
Well, there's areas where our trail is really close to the edge of the bank. One area in particular is in there, 68th, 69th, and Riverside, where the erosion actually undercut the trail. We have part of that barricaded off. We lost a light pole and some wiring into the river. So that's certainly an area the cable concrete application would work well, and that would be one of our higher priorities. Also, the trail at the base of Turkey Mountain, which we call the Turkey Leg, that runs, the west bank at the base of Turkey, has a couple areas that have really kind of cracked and slidden off side. So those are a couple, and you mentioned gathering place. Yes, the sports courts, and if you go through the gathering place, you'll see that the trail is fenced off, the erosion that undercut the trail, and those bottom sports courts. So those last south ones, the last time I talked to Tony and been through there, they were closed.
It's Tony Moore, the gathering place
Tony
director.
Correct. So that is a pretty expensive fix right there.
My guest today is Matt Meyer, the Executive Director of River Parks Authority. We're looking at how River Parks recovers from the Arkansas River flooding event. The Parks Authority believes there's about $8.3 million of damage resulting from the flooding event. They've applied for FEMA relief, but that is reimbursement rather than actual grants to cover the cost of recovering from the issue. And I assume there's erosion issues at various points along the trails from 11th Street all the way down to 101st.
Yeah, the report that our engineer came up with, I don't know, there's dozens literally of places where we need to do repairs. The erosion. Some of it could be as simple as adding dirt, and the other is riprap, like we talked about, or the cable concrete. Some of the smaller areas we can do in-house, but the major repairs will have to be wrapped up into a project that is engineered and publicly bid.
Yeah. When you're looking at your priorities, is the first priority the erosion issues, or is it more the recreational issues and the trail issues and the use to the public issues?
The first priority during the flood and after the flood is actually safety.
Right.
So we had some sinkholes in the trail that we had to barricade off. And then other priorities, well, the safety is always the first priority, but then how to protect the infrastructure would be the second priority. The sinkholes, since I talked about that, there's three or four major ones, and that we determined that each one of those was actually caused by a separated storm sewer like 6 or 8 feet below, which caused the churning action, which caused the erosion and the sinkhole to happen. So thankfully, our partners with the city have made those repairs, or I think there's still one they're in the process of making. But the trail's open. People can use it, and we opened it as quickly as possible because, you know, people were on it and are trying to get on it even during the flood.
Yes. That was one of the safety issues was, you know, people coming down to the trails to look at the water.
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch during the flood, no question about it, but some people were not using good common sense, shall we say.
Yeah. We'll talk about how River Parks recovers, given your situation where you have $8 million of damage. At least at this point, you only have access to about $3.1 million in funds that were actually designated for other projects along River Parks. What's the long-term recovery to get the parks back to where it was pre-flood?
Well, it will be long-term, and we'll be looking at all the options, both the city and the county, and what we can do to help ourselves. So we are doing some things to help ourselves. I want to point that out. And we've actually gotten about $49,000 in random donations just sent to River Parks. Thank you very much to the public and to the generous Tulsans who made that happen. Sounds like a lot, but it's in the drop in the bucket when you're talking about $8.3 million. But we can use that as our match. As all the volunteer hours, that was like $15 an hour count. We documented that, so we can use that as a match. The other thing is we're applying for a couple of grants, which we may or may not get, so I don't want to say too much about those, but we are trying. And an event that we do every 2 years called Wild Turkey, and that takes place October 3rd, and it's at Turkey Mountain. And our board has determined that 2/3 of the proceeds for that will be applied to flood damage repair.
That's good. Well, that's good news. And I think we should take a step back and because I think most people think of River Parks as being much a government entity, much like county parks or city parks. But it's a little bit different because you really depend on a lot of private support for the overall funding for River Parks.
We're kind of a weird organization in that we have one foot in the public sector and one foot in the private sector. Technically, River Parks is a Title 60 public trust that has the beneficiaries of the city and the county. So we go through both the city budget process and the county budget process. But we also have a lot of partnerships, private-public partnerships. For instance, the $12 million that was given to the trail renovation over a period of years starting in like 2007, that was paid for by the Kaiser Foundation. So we have a River Parks Foundation, which is a really good vehicle for donors to contribute to River Parks, whether it's a $300 park bench or the, like I said, the $12 million for the trail. So, yeah, we go through the city and the county process, and we have partnerships with, you know, Quick Trip, with Oktoberfest, with the various running groups and just everybody imaginable.
My guest today on Studio Tulsa is Matt Meyer, the Executive Director of River Parks Authority. River Parks is looking at how they can recover from the Arkansas River flooding event, which has resulted in over $8 million of damages to the parks from 11th Street down to 101st Street and some trail rehabilitation and the like. Earlier, Matt, you mentioned in passing the Wild Turkey event that's coming up in October. Tell us a little about this event and why this is important for funding some of the damages.
Sure, Rich. The Wild Turkey event is a fundraiser we have every 2 years in River Parks, and we have it at Turkey Mountain. Our board decided this year, and it makes sense to do this, to allocate 2/3 of the proceeds towards our flood damage repairs. So it's a real casual event. It takes place this year on October 3rd. We are looking for sponsors for that, and there are various sponsor levels from, you know, all the way up to $50,000, but there's smaller ones at $5, $10, $1, $2,500 as well. But it's a casual event. You can wear jeans, shorts. It's at Turkey Mountain. We have bonfires. We have a buffet. We have music. We have the birds of prey, the owls and the eagles, and just that's for entertainment for the people that are there. We also have like a little glow hike into the mountain that's scheduled, and probably some other things. We've had telescopes set up, but it's just a casual fundraiser for River Parks. I don't know what we're going to generate. We don't know yet.
Usually that money would go for other purposes at River Parks. Does that, again, create a burden for the parks?
I mean, the
parks?
Flood does affect us in many ways, and that certainly is one. Like repairing our parking lots, which really need the work, some trail crack filling, trail resurfacing, new playgrounds, fencing, that sort of thing, which will have to be delayed because we're going to move that money over towards flood repairs.
And so it sounds like the city will have to delay some of their projects because they're allocating money ahead of time to River Parks.
Well, I don't think they're allocating any money that wasn't already designated for
right,
River Parks.
Right, right. So, but yeah. the way the money comes in, I mean, it's usually fund as you go, right?
Yeah, it's pay as you go. And with FEMA, you have to have the money up front, as I understand it, to do the projects and then get reimbursed.
Well, we talked a little about the Wild Turkey event on Turkey Mountain. The other big issue with River Parks that's coming up in the next 5 to 6 months will be eventually the unveiling of the Turkey Mountain Master Plan. This has been a while in the works. Is that still on schedule to be released at the end of the year?
Yes, I believe that it is. We've had quite a bit of effort on the master plan for Turkey Mountain. Again, the Kaiser Foundation is funding it. And we've had a couple of really good public input sessions. One of them had over 350 people. I believe the next one is scheduled for September 19th. And our steering committee and staff is meeting with the consultants periodically.
And that's Michael Van Valkenburg, who was the architect who built the Gathering Place.
That is correct. However, this will not be Gathering Place 2.0. They understand that it's an urban wilderness area and are addressing it as such. So, yeah, it's on schedule. I mean, there's no definite deadline that it has to be done by. And, again, the only thing that's funded today is a plan, no improvements. So, you know we need more parking. We know we have trail erosion issues. We have talked about some fire burn management to control some of the underbrush and the deadwood. All those are management tools, so we'll see. But the plan isn't done yet. But let me just mention how that came about a little bit. Because previously, River Parks owned about 200 acres of Turkey Mountain. The city of Tulsa owned about 200 acres, and that was leased to River Parks. And the Kaiser Foundation owned another approximate 200-some acres. So the Kaiser Foundation indicated to the city that if the city were to deed their portion of the property to River Parks, then the foundation would do the same, and they did, and they did. Mm-hmm. So now we have about a 600-acre wilderness area, which is really a jewel for Tulsa.
And has the parcel to the west been opened up to the public, or is that still?
No, it's open. Yeah. I mean, people have been using it for years, whether unofficially. Yeah. So, and you know, Turkey Mountain just has a real loyal following. I mean, there's mountain bikers, of course. They take credit for building a lot of the trails, and that's true. And we have equestrians, we have, you know, just hikers, day walkers, bird watchers, just a wide variety of people.
So what has been the biggest takeaway that you heard from the public in the public input meeting so far? Because I think when people hear the idea of master plan, they think master development plan.
Actually, what we mostly heard is what people don't want.
What was that?
Well, I don't believe they want any commercial development there.
Now I've heard talk about camping. Is camping in the mix?
Camping could be in the mix, maybe on the peripheral somewhere. Uh-huh. So we've talked about things like zip lines and you know climbing boulders and the consultants have visited other sites in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you know, other urban wilderness areas. We have visited some of the trails in Northwest Arkansas. You know, they have. Trails can be various levels, you know, especially the competitive mountain bikers. They want to have the obstacles to make it exciting.
Yeah. And so when people think of a master plan for development, I think the case here, it's more of a recreational usage plan.
Oh, it's a management plan.
Management plan.
I think it's probably. We call it a master plan, but it's really a management plan.
Uh-huh. And again, there's no thought of making it anything other than an urban wilderness area.
That's correct. Although there are some different definitions of what should be in an urban wilderness.
Uh-huh. For example?
Well, just some of the things I mentioned, you know.
Uh-huh. As opposed to just letting the land be natural with some hiking trails or riding trails, whatever the case may be. As you go through the next few months and probably the next year or year and a half as you go through this process with FEMA, what's the long-term impact on river parks by having to first find and fund $8.3 million in funding to stabilize and repair the trails and repair the damage from the flood? What's the likely long-term impact on river parks, do you
think? Let me kind of answer that by just saying, in general, the flood, we addressed it in three stages. The initial stage was just to clean up of the trails, and that was done with heavy emphasis on volunteers. We had just an awesome response from volunteers to make that happen. So within a few days, I mean, the park was usable again. The second phase is basically the sinkhole repair. The larger sinkholes on the trail, a lot of that was done by the city because the sinkholes were caused by an underlying separation of storm sewers. The third phase, which you're referring to, is really the longer term. So we have areas along the bank that were eroded badly and will need to be stabilized. But the impact of river parks will be financial and time. I mean, we've had a lot more work that we weren't planning on doing, and everything that we normally do still needs to be done.
Yeah. Earlier in our conversation, you mentioned some preventive erosion work, and some of that has to do with the riprap and things like that to mitigate the effects of future floods. Is there any sense that FEMA will help reimburse the cost of that? Because I always thought of FEMA as really only replacing damage.
Yeah, maybe is a good answer to that. I really don't know for sure. I know in general terms, FEMA will help fund to put it back the way it was. So then if we try to use the argument, hey, we want to beef this up to prevent future erosion, that's a good argument with me. I don't know if it will be with them, so I don't want to promise people that. So hopefully they will see it our way.
Well, we should always remember that River Parks is a private-public partnership, and you do get donations from the public, sometimes in nominal amounts. If people want to help fund the repairs, how do they go about doing that?
Well, one of the ways is to contribute to the Wild Turkey event. You can go to riverparks.org and go to the Wild Turkey tab, and you could sponsor. You know, Sharon King Davis is our chair for that. She's doing a wonderful job reaching out to lots of sponsors, businesses, foundations. That's one way, or people can actually write us checks. We've got about $49,000 worth of random donations, just people helping us out, because generous Tulsans understand the value of river parks to the quality of life. And they're on the trails, and they saw the damage, and they want to help.
All right. Matt Meyer, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Matt Meyer is the executive director of River Parks Authority as we look at how River Parks is recovering from the Arkansas River flooding event. For more information about River Parks or information about the Wild Turkey fundraiser or just how you can help River Parks, visit their website at riverparks.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.